At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Dope Mom Alone podcast. I am your host, Heather McFadyen, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 337, I'm inviting back to the show Melanie Schenkel and Sophie Hudson, the dynamic duo, the hosts of the Big Boo Cast.
If you want them to talk to you, you have to start listening when they're really young. Like, they need to know that you're listening to them. And that may be, you know, when they're, you know, six and they're wanting to tell you about last night, I had a dream and what happened was there were candy canes and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God, like it stop. But it's like, you don't have to listen forever. Cause I also think balance, and you want to say, hey, you don't want to be the person at a dinner party telling the story that somebody has given you three. Wow, that's amazing. And they're really telling you to wrap it up. So like, there's a balance, like they need that you're engaged in listening to what's going on in their world, even at an age when it doesn't interest you. Because I will tell you, they hit about 13 and you're going to be real interested in what's going on in their world. And they need to feel like they can talk to you. And so I think that listening was always super important. Like, I'm here to listen to what you have to say and what's happening in your world, because that matters to me.
Melanie and Sophie have each been on the show separately. Melanie was actually episode 12 for me. It's raw, y'all. It's real. Grown a lot since episode 12. And Sophie came on episode 58. And then Melanie was back on the show right before the pandemic. And I'm sure it's pretty humorous. Like, all the things we probably were so confident about. We were talking about navigating friendships, which then we were all isolated. Whatever. So today they are on the show together, and it is such a joy. The reason why I invited them both is back in May, I had such a good time talking to Erin Moon and Courtney Cleveland about motherhood, and just playing off each other was a blast. And so I wanted to do that again. And this time I'm inviting gals who have mentored me a long time. We blogged together. They have written so many books and they are so wise. If you are a mom who has an only child, you are also going to love the end of our conversation. They kind of address that. They get asked about that a lot. They each have one child and all of the thoughts around that. So it's really encouraging. Let's get right to it. Here we go. See, okay. See how it did that? It's very fancy.
I think that's the Zoom legacy. I mean, the pandemic legacy is that little thing, because I just think a lot of people got on Zoom and didn't realize that somebody could record that thing. And you just, and then you don't know how that might come back. You don't know how that's going to,
that's right.
It might circle back around on you a little bit. So now we have to inform people.
We have to let people know you are being recorded.
You are being recorded. Well, and that's a piece of advice I gave Caroline Schenkel from the time she was little bitty, that I said, you need to assume you're being recorded at all times.
Okay.
At all times.
A lot of pressure in it on these kids.
It's true. It's true. I mean, you just don't know. Yeah, that's it. And it could ruin your life. Be smart.
Like 20 years from now, it can ruin your life. It's a footprint forever.
That's right. Yep.
See, this is where I learned from you. And that's why you're here.
Okay.
My oldest just turned 16, which that's a whole thing.
Okay.
A whole
situation. It is.
So you're a little ahead of me, both of y'all, like steps. And so when you would write online, I'd be like, oh, I don't feel alone. So there you go. You're my original Don't Mom Alone internet friends. And so thank you for just like helping me this whole time.
What a joy. We didn't know we were helping, Heather.
You know, but it's for the one, right? And it's all worth it. It's for me.
Yeah.
It's all worth it for me. So I thought, this is, you know, I want to enjoy my show. I want moms to have a good time. I want to hear from you, because y'all are, you're not done. Your mom's forever.
Yes.
But this whole like having people in your home every day, and Mel, it's okay to cry.
Yeah.
I like crying. If you cry, it's going to be okay. We can use this as a grief session, but we can also laugh through it. It can be a joy, you know. So tell us, like, as you're reflecting on this whole journey, do y'all have some superpowers that you've gained over the years? Do you feel, are you giving yourself enough credit yet that you did some things right?
You know, I was just, I was just texting with some friends this morning, and we all have kids that are in college this year. And we said, I think our number one principle, because we were saying we each heard from our three kids last night, and our, the lasting principle is don't overreact to anything. Like, don't get too excited. You need to just hit that middle road of, that's interesting. Tell me more. Because once they sense your eagerness, it's like a dog sensing fear, you know, and they're going to shut down on you and you're done. So it's like, no matter what they tell you, you just have to go, so that's interesting. Like, tell me more about that. So I feel like that is, I did feel like I really have mastered that over the years. And if I have a superpower, it's that I can pretend like I'm just coloring by number on my phone while internally screaming at a situation that's going on. But acting like I'm breezy. I'm so easy. This doesn't affect me at all.
Monica. I'm easy. I'm breezy.
I'm breezy. She's breezy. Her middle name is Nonchalant.
Nonchalant.
That's Melanie.
But that is a superpower of a nine in general, is like keeping it all in and not overreacting. I'm this four who's like, what? What did they say? So I could learn from y'all. I'm just going to pull it in. Okay. That's good. That's a good one.
That is good.
Way to go.
I think that I'm generally a half full person. So I think just the ability to, I feel like as a mama, I have been consistently encouraging. Now, there have certainly been parts and times where I've not, but for the most part, I'm usually like, whatever you want to do, I'm all in. You know, if you want to try something, okay, let's do that. Like, I think generally I have been just willing to sort of, as far as Alex goes, and he's a senior now, just whatever he felt like was the next best thing. Okay. And that's worked out pretty well, honestly. It's just to not overthink things too much. And like Melanie, I think it is the nine superpower to just, I can remember one time he told me something. He was in junior high and he told me something, and I sat here and I could feel, it was like I could feel the blood leave my head and start to drain like into my lower body. I was like, okay, just give me a second. And I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then I walked back out and was like, so anyway, like you were saying, you know, you just can't give them too much in terms of reactions.
This is so helpful.
Especially the teenagers, because the emotion can only come from one place. Like you can't have mom and teenager in high emotion. It's only gonna result in fire and explosion. And so, especially when they become teenagers, you really just have to internalize it. I'm not freaked out. Look at me again, breezy. Mm-hmm. We're nonchalant. How about that? Mm-hmm. And then you can go lose it in the privacy of your closet or wherever.
Yeah. And you're not like over advising is what I'm hearing too. Where I'm like, I'm learning to zip it on the, well, that's stupid. Like you can't say that.
Yeah. And it's hard to over advise when they know so much, Heather, right? Like they know so much.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
No, yesterday I was called out because they were talking about somebody. And I said, you know what, guys, it just never serves anyone well when we talk about someone and they're not here. And they're like, you talk about people when they're not here. I was like, well, I'm never doing it again. And they said, oh, yeah,
you're never going to do it again.
I'm like, gosh, this is hard. I feel like I have a, you know, peanut gallery, always analyzing everything
I do.
And
you do.
Back to me of all this overcorrecting.
We just had one and you got four, like taking notes.
It's like a gang. It's like living with street gang.
They do gang on me. Yes. Gang up. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I need to learn from y'all a little bit of hold it in, keep it in. But then if you act that way, I'm guessing they will come to you with questions of like, hey mom, I'm in this situation. What would you do? Because they trust you that you're not overly informing them. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, I mean, we call it like not helicopter parenting. We call it houseplant parenting, which is you just sit there like a houseplant, like you just sit there and you wait. And you have to know that it's usually going to come at like after 11 at night. So just you're back to the newborn, no sleeping phase, because I would just sit, because it's going to happen either after they finished all their homework and they've done all their stuff. And it's like that nighttime, you know how we all get, like you get in bed and things get quiet and then you get the mom, like, here's what happened or whatever. And so I do think that the more, because I learned that with Caroline, where once I started and Perry did it, my husband, and he meant well, because, you know, men are fixers. She would start talking about something. He'd be like, well, what you need to do is da, 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 da. And I had to say, like, quit telling like that. She doesn't want to know what to do because she knows more than we do. You know, she just wants to vent and air. And a lot of times what I learned is she would come in and dump a problem and I would just listen and be like, oh, okay, well, yeah. I mean, I guess we just need to kind of pray about that and think about it and whatever. And then if I would wait like a day or two, like let it sit, when she's kind of mellowed a little bit and emotions aren't as high, and then come back and said, you know what, I've been thinking about what you said about whatever, and maybe this might be a good whatever. She was so much more willing to listen long after the fact than in the moment. Because in the moment, and you know, boys may be different, but with girls, it's just that immediate, like emotional, I've got to get it all out and I've got to rant. And in that moment, she does not want me to hear, she doesn't want to hear me say, well, maybe we need to forgive them and whatever, because
right
now, that is not going to go over well at that point. But 2 days later, she may receive it with a little more grace and understanding.
Grace and grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking as Melanie's talking, as you know, the mama of a boy.
Yeah.
I think so. It's so difficult sometimes with him because he'll handle something and it's like, to him, it's done. So he's not going to sit in the emotion of something for super long. And that's just his personality, I think. So sometimes it's almost like if I bring it up again, it's like he has to access this long forgotten memory. And it happened 2 days ago, you know, but
yeah,
it's a little trickier sometimes, yeah, I think, with the boys, not with all boys, but with some boys, to get them to dig a little deeper emotionally, because they can, you know, they can settle something and keep moving. And girls can too. I know girls with that same personality, but it's just, golly, it's like, you know, those movies where there's like a some sort of museum heist and they have all the red lasers running across. Uh-huh. And it's like trying to crawl in between those lines sometimes, trying to get to them at a time and a place where they're willing to really talk about something and really think about something, and where you can have like the deeper conversation of, well, what do you think the Lord would have you do in this situation? That's hard work. That's hard work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bringing Jesus
in. I think Sophie brought up a point, which I think is so true. And we've all just talked about our Enneagrams, and you know, I get that it's not a perfect system, but like, to me, when I had Caroline take an Enneagram test when she was probably in about seventh grade, and when she tested as a hard 8, okay, that helped me so much in my parenting, just to kind of have that guide of like, I knew that about her, but it really helped equip me for like, this is how I have to handle, which my husband is also an 8. So I was like, oh, I have to handle her like I handle her dad. And so, mm-hmm, it just gives you a guideline. And I think especially like for you, like having 4 kids, like when you got a lot, like to know they're all going to respond differently to, yeah, stuff. And it's like to figure out like for which child, okay, I need to handle this with them. And then this is going to be very different from how I handle it with the next one. So I think that Enneagram, there's something to kind of knowing that about your child. Cause like Sophie said, like Alex's personality is going to be so different than Caroline's in terms of, you know, boy, girl and personality traits and all that stuff.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. One thing I bring up over and over again in my book is getting professional counseling. And maybe you've been hearing it from people online, or some influencer you follow is talking about their therapist. I want to free you up and help you out. And that is with BetterHelp, because they will assess your needs. They're going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Here is the great news. You don't have to worry about childcare. You don't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room wondering who's going to see you go into therapy. Anything that is a barrier to entry for you, that shame is keeping you from reaching out for the help that you need, this is a great solution. because it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available that may not be locally available in many areas. You could get personal counseling. You could get couples counseling. You could get help with a teen. If you need additional help, I would love to have you check out BetterHelp. Go to their website, read their reviews. Go to BetterHelp.com/DMA. DMA. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And special offer, if you, as a Don't Mom Alone podcast listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/DMA. Well, speaking of personalities, good segue. Speaking of personalities, what are you bad at? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. What is your mom kryptonite, actually? It's not like something you're bad at, but like, what do you struggle to do? Because y'all are great at this listening and this just like being a house plant. But what is something that you need your support team to call in? You are like, I am not touching that. That's not mine. I'm not good at that.
I'm not patient.
Okay.
Like I'm not patient. I can play patient, but I mean, I am like, if somebody's in deep emotional duress, yes, I'm patient in those things, but with like day-to-day stuff, I like to be early. I don't know. I get easily frustrated. So that's not great. And there were times when you're real in those years where you're really trying to teach responsibility, like, you know, middle school, early part of high school, where I would be pretty grateful that nobody was like had a camera pointed at me sometimes. Cause I have turned some cars around and some strangers' driveways to go back to get something with my teeth clenched. You know, I've left him at home. you know, like I'm so patience has not ever been my superpower. It's easier at this age because he's responsible now. So anyway, and then I hate planning a birthday party. I've never liked planning a party. There's nothing that stresses me out. Like, so the children's birthday party circuit was never really like my vibe. It was never something I enjoyed. And it's only been like maybe in the last 4 or 5 years, I have two friends who are great, like party planners and who live for it and who think about it and who have a theme and like to shop for the paper goods. And so for the last 4 or 5 years, I've said, what are we doing for his birthday this year?
Yeah.
what do I need to go buy? I didn't even know how to order balloons. Like, I don't like forced merriment. And that's what a kid's birthday party feels like to me. But there are people who do it beautifully. I'm just not one of them. So I've really called in reinforcements on the party planning piece of things. And peace and blessings be unto you, Heather, for the fact that you have to do 4 of those a year. My goodness.
You're so sweet.
Yeah.
I think that's really smart that you are like, that's not my thing. I don't enjoy it. I don't get joy from that.
I don't enjoy
it. Who are my people that I can call?
I like when it's over. It's what I like. I love to celebrate the person, but right. I think because I'm a person, I don't like a fuss being made over me. I don't want anybody to sing happy birthday to me ever. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me sometimes to get outside of that and to think, and listen, Alex Hudson loves for people to sing happy birthday to him. He enjoys being celebrated. So it's been good to have people who could help me make that happen in a way that did not render me like in my pajamas by 7 o'clock at night after the fact.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, I feel it more just like mom's judging how I did it. I had that this last go around with the 16th birthday party. I didn't have all the mom's emails, so I didn't do the traditional like Evite where you put in the mom's emails. I knew he had their phone numbers of the kids. So we found one you could put in a phone number. So we're texting them an invite and he's like, I don't even have that. So I'll just ask him on Snap. And I was like, okay, these moms hate me because they don't know like where it is. Are there gifts? Are they eating or not? Like all the things that, you know, and it's been a moment since we've had parties, right?
Yeah.
Kind of in that's true.
Situation here with people and sickness. So anyway, I felt a little, not that they were judging, but I knew I was doing it wrong, but I didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And that was stressful. It's stressful.
Yeah.
Whatever the children can handle on the Snapchat, I say more power to them.
I was just, how many kids are actually coming? Like, what are we talking? That's what I need to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then you get an email from a mom saying, Ethan says that there's a party at your house on Friday. Is this right? Like, cause I've done that before where I'm like, Caroline's like, no. And you're like, does the mom know this is happening? Like, I just want to make sure we're not showing up for pizza. And she didn't know that this was even going on. Cause that's always out there too.
100%. Yeah, no. Yeah. So the mom judgment or like doing it wrong in mom land. I feel that sometimes. And so pulling in people that do understand it is smart. Sophie, that's smart.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your kryptonite?
I mean, I think my biggest one is, and this is what I've said, I had to learn early on, like, don't text Caroline during the school day. So like in junior high, when she started having fun and saying, how's your day? Because if she says not good, I spiral. Like I get on that emotional roller coaster, you know, and I worry, I can't let it go. Like the rest of my day, I'm like, well, how is she? Is it all going to be okay? And then I would pick her up at 4 and I would be like, so what happened? And she'd be like, what are you talking about? And you're like, I spent my whole day. Like I left because I was worried about you having a bad day and I couldn't enjoy lunch. And she's like, oh yeah, that was in second period when something happened, you know, like it's realizing like, I can't get on that emotional train and like having to stop myself from taking on every emotion she feels, because as a teenage girl, she feels all the emotions. And sometimes I'm like, I have to, and I think as moms, we're always going to get the immediate, this is so terrible, here's what's happening. And later they're like, no, that was not even a thing. But I've had to learn like my kryptonite is I can take on too much of her emotional whatever and let it affect my life to an unhealthy degree. So I have to learn to step back and be like, I can't take this on. And that's when I call like my best friend Gelly, and she's like, you know, she just gave you the worst of it. And this is not nearly as bad. And I'm like, that's right. That's a good word. So.
And how is that with her not being there every day?
Honestly, you know what I'm going to tell you? It's good. Like,
okay, good.
Like it's, and part of it is that she's so happy, like she's doing so well. But like even yesterday she was texting and she was like, cause we Snapchat now, that's our new method of communication.
Daily.
That's, yeah. I mean like hourly, like I love that, because she told me like the first couple of days I was like, you don't text me back for, and she's like, mom, you've got to Snapchat me. Like, if you want to see pictures of me, if you want to. So I love, because now she'll Snapchat and she's like, I'm in chemistry class or whatever. Because that's how she is communicating with everybody. And so I'm just a Snapchat person now, which is, she's my only person. And I'm so afraid I'm going to send out something wrong on Snapchat, but it's better, because like yesterday she's like, oh my God, I've walked 8 miles. It's so hot. I couldn't find this t-shirt. They're out of Scantrons or whatever, but it's being removed from it. I'm like, none of that's my problem. Like, God be with you. You know, like it feels a little freeing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's funny. It feels like a relief to not have the constant play by play a little bit, if that makes sense.
Well, it's like you're getting the play by play, but you aren't the one responsible for making it right.
That's it. I can't do anything about it.
That feels freeing and that you can stay in the loop, but not. Yeah.
That's it. And plus, especially like I told Sophie this yesterday, like after a week of college, Caroline knows more about Texas A&M and being a student than I ever did. Like she has got it. So like yesterday, whole thing was they were sold out of the Scantrons that she needed at the bookstore. And she was like, I can't find them. And I said, well, when do you need them? And she was like, next week. And I said, well, why don't you see if you can order them on Amazon? I said, because I bet you could get them by tomorrow. And she said, I bet Amazon, these are a very certain kind of Scantron and Amazon probably doesn't have them. And I was like, are you familiar with Amazon? Because
kind of have a big distributor of things, major.
I bet they do have these very certain Scantrons that you need. But I was like, oh, you're going to have to go find another bookstore. I'm like, not my problem. So you'll figure it out. Bless. So it's a little freeing in that way.
Okay. So there's a whole thing with high school and entering college and new territory. I feel like I'm constantly, it's the guinea pig kid for me, the oldest, but those toddler and baby years, it's fun now kind of to tell the war stories. So do y'all have a good one? I mean, I know y'all have written in books about some of them, but if you like top of mind war story that a mom who's listening, who is in those years right now can have hope that she will get through this. You have survived.
I remember one time, I can't remember if Alex was, if he was like 18 months, two and something, I don't know, but he was somewhere in that super willful period, you know. And I remember one time we were at church and, you know, you just always kind of hope you can keep it together at church, maybe a little bit. I just remember leaving whatever service we were in and he was on my hip and we walked out in the lobby and one of our pastor's wives came up and we were just kind of talking back and forth. And she looked Alex right in the eyes and kind of like leaned in. You know how you do with people's kids sometimes. She was going to make a connection. And she was like, Alex, you know, how are you today? And he hauled off and just slapped her. He just slapped her right across her face, right there in the lobby at church. And I was mortified. But the trick of that is you cannot dress down your toddler in the lobby of the church building. and I wouldn't have, but it was like hard to know what to do. Cause I was so sorry, but it needed to be a teachable moment. Anyway, she was really kind, but I've never forgotten it. I mean, I was just, so that was, and that's just the kind of the tip of the iceberg. He also slapped somebody one time in Party City. I remember that too. So again, it's because I was trying to pull off some party, you know.
I have wanted to slap people at Party City. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, there's just nothing. They're just so willful and so like, darling, it's the thing. Like, they're just so cute. But God, they have some moments at that stage for sure.
Yeah. I think with Caroline, I mean, I'm sitting here and I can like toddler age, specifically what I remember is she would, this was a constant with her and it was a harbinger of things to come is what it was, is that when she would, we had like a little timeout chair that was this old chair and it would be, I kept it in her room. And so, you know, I had read in a book that it was like timeout is a really effective way to discipline them and let them know that this behavior is, you know, not acceptable. So we started like early on, like when she was, you know, like one, I would be like, you got to go sit in the timeout chair for like 1 minute or whatever. And I'm telling you, from that, the time that child could walk to her timeout chair, she would sit in that timeout chair and she would put her head down and she would spit on the floor the whole time she was in, and I would see it. And it was that thing of like, what she's saying to me is every bad word that she doesn't know. She's calling me a bunch of bad names and she doesn't know how to do that. So she's spitting on the floor. And so I kind of like, that was like an ongoing thing till she was, I will say, I let her do it and I pretended to ignore it. Cause I was like, this is her way of kind of getting out her anger and her frustration and whatever. And like, you got to roll with it, because I was like, it's that hard balance with a toddler where it's like, you want to train them, but you also don't want to break their spirit. And I was mm-hmm. like, this is her exhibiting her spirit and her anger at the unfairness of this punishment. But golly, I wiped up a lot of piles of spit is what I'm going to tell you.
She was sitting on the outside, but standing on the inside.
That's right. That's right.
Make me sit this chair. You can't make me like it. No,
that's exactly right.
Oh man. Well, I know. Oh man. Well, I know y'all have a lineage of moms and mother-in-laws that have poured into you and friends. I know you have great friends that have helped you. Is there like advice or ideas that you remember getting from them that stuck with you? You were like, this kind of helped me along.
I feel like I've gotten good advice from Melanie. You know, I remember Melanie saying when our kids were little, you wanted to have more yeses than no's. I've thought about that so many times over the years, like just to have let it be a yes whenever you can. If it's not, you know, some big moral or ethical issue, like, okay, let's roll with the yes, if it makes sense. So I feel like I've thought about that a lot. And that has really, golly, that's been so helpful with a teenager. I just feel like there's nothing better with a teenager than a yes, you know, and a little spontaneity thrown in too. And then, you know, I remember when Alex was born, my mama was in the hospital room with me and she was holding him. And I remember her looking at him and saying, he's just the best friend you'll ever have. And I thought it was such a weird thing to say, because of course, every parenting book is, you know, your child is not your friend, your child is not your friend, your child is not your friend. And of course, I mean, my job was to be his mama. It is to be his mama now, but that notion of the friendship to come has really, really stayed with me. I think I see glimmers of it now. I actually see a lot of it now. I mean, I think we have a really strong relationship, but just that notion in the back of my head, the whole time he's been growing up, that he's going to be, you know, he may not be the best friend I've ever had. He may not be interested in that level of familiarity with his mom. I doubt he will be. But that notion of I'm not just his mama, I'm building a lifelong relationship here. And that's your like high level goal in the whole situation is that lifelong relationship. So it's been really sweet to think back on that mama even thought to say that, you know, when he was a day old.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think for me, I had two things that have really stood out to me that older moms told me. And one is I did not come up with a say, yeah, you can. Like that was an older mom had told me that. And I think that's so true. The other was when Caroline was little that she said, if she doesn't know you're the boss when she's three, she's not going to know you're the boss when she's 13. And it's too late then, because especially like with boys, they're going to be bigger than you by then. So it's like, you got to start early with the discipline, like, and letting them know, like, you are in charge, and that there are consequences for behavior. And so I think that was one thing that I did. And then the other is if you want them to talk to you, you have to start listening when they're really young. Like they need to know that you're listening to them. And that may be, you know, when they're, you know, six and they're wanting to tell you about last night, I had a dream. And what happened was there were candy canes and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God, like, make it stop.
Were
like,
you at my house this morning?
Yeah.
You're really or like Minecraft. That's the boys.
Yes.
Like Minecraft or whatever thing they're in. And it's like these words that you're like, I don't even know what language you're speaking right
it's
now.
It's a whole different language.
Oh, I can't pay attention, but I'm supposed to listen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like, you don't have to listen forever. Cause I also think balance, and you want to say, hey, you don't want to be the person at a dinner party telling the story that somebody has given you three. Wow, that's amazing. And they're really telling you to wrap it up. So like, there's a balance, like they need that you're engaged in listening to what's going on in their world, even at an age when it doesn't interest you. Cause I will tell you, they hit about 13 and you're going to be real interested in what's going on in their world. And they need to feel like they can talk to you. And so I think that listening was always super important. Like I'm here to listen to what you have to say and what's happening in your world. Cause that matters to me.
That's so good.
Smart. That's so smart. Look at you. You guys.
That was there again.
Come you up say you don't talk about anything. This is a wealth of information, a wealth. If you followed Melanie for a while, Big Mama, you know that she does like a Fashion Friday feature on Instagram or on her blog. I think it's from her that I learned about this week's sponsor, Rothy's. And what I loved was they were super cute shoes. They also have bags and they are made sustainably. So they're good for the environment, which feels like I'm winning. And I can wash them in the washing machine, which is awesome for me because I can wear them without socks and not worry when they start getting super stinky that I can smell them like from the ground to my nose. I throw them in the washing machine. They come out looking brand new, smelling great. And then they have a men's line. So for my teen boys who really only want to wear tennis shoes, I can get them a nice looking pair of dress shoes and know that when they get things spilled on them or they start smelling, I can throw them in the washing machine. They last wash after wash. And I love this mom's insight. Laura S. said, knowing that dirt will just wash away makes the white sneaker look possible for this mother of two. I mean, so true. I've always not gotten white sneakers because I'm like, well, they're just going to look dirty within a week. If you want to keep it fresh this summer with washable shoes and bags from Rothy's, even this fall and into the winter, honestly, in Dallas, head to rothys.com/DMA for Don't Mom Alone to find your new favorites today. That is Rothy's, rothys.com/DMA. Okay, so how have y'all stayed sane in this situation of pandemic living or whatever? It feels so weird right now. It's like the same in severity, but everyone's doing real regular life. I don't know. I don't know where it is, if it's like that where you are, but it feels like, yeah, let's all go to the football game. No masks. Yeah. It's fine. I'm like, this feels odd. I feel odd. Yeah. Is it okay to have that birthday party? Is what am I allowed to do? What am I, should I not do? So how have you all stayed sane in all of that?
I think for me, it's been, well, I mean, last year I was still working at a school where I'd worked for a really long time. So I went, I mean, in August I went back to work, you know, so it was navigating everything in that context. But I think since March of 2020 until now, kind of the through line of sanity for me has been anything creative. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whether that is writing or podcasting or cooking supper or baking something, or even I think, you know, time to get outside and to go on a walk and to kind of take in creation, anything connected to creativity has been life-giving to me, just life-giving. So I think I appreciate those things more than I ever have, because it's been a comfort, and it's been a way to process a little bit all that's been going on, and a way to still feel like there's some measure of being productive, you know, when I think a lot of people have struggled with, like, I don't know, when everything's been so weird. So my husband's been home since March of 2020, working from home. He's just started going back to the office. He goes 2 days a week. So our life looks, and then I didn't go back to school this year. So our life looks totally different than it did, you know, a year and a half ago. And I think a lot of people are in that same boat where there's just been a lot of reassessing and a lot of wondering what it looks like to love your neighbor, and a lot of figuring out how simple things can kind of reestablish a place of priority in lives that have been really busy. Somebody tweeted a couple of days ago that they would like to live in precedented times. And I thought, that's it. We've all been navigating, you know, all you can call it is unprecedented. Yeah. And for me, the way to not get weary in that and sad and all that stuff has been to try to stay connected creatively.
And you wrote another book. I told Sophie earlier, Mel, I don't know why you people keep doing this, because the most ridiculous thing in the world. And I have another one due in April. And what is my life? Why do you people think this is a good idea? But I guess it's the creativity that you love. You're sane because of it.
Whatever. I did. I wrote a second devotional book kind of for young women. So, but I.
Does this look familiar for the?
Oh, that's the first one. Yeah.
That's the first one. What do you think?
How about it? So the second one I wrote during kind of like the end of quarantine. And then as I went back to school last year, but when I started writing it, I was like, every devotion is going to say, so today on my walk, because that's all I was doing. Like, so yesterday afternoon, I went for a walk, and I really could have called the book Things I Thought About While I Walked. Like, it was just
along the way.
Weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, but again, but that was a good creative exercise while I was home a lot. So.
And say the name again. We'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, it's Grace. Called Grace Upon Grace. It comes out on September 28th.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. Just around the corner.
This month. Okay. So what's your sanity saver? I mean, you were trying to navigate when I interviewed last with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you were already talking about wanting more time with,
mm-hmm.
And before the senior year was come, and then she had a senior year in a pandemic. So
yeah, it was. And I think that's what's funny is, like, with the pandemic, like, Perry and I laughed about it a lot, because really the pandemic didn't really change my day-to-day life very much. Like, when you kind of know that you are a homebody, I mean, it was like, I was like, well, okay, so I have to wear a mask in the grocery store. I don't really even grocery shop. I get them delivered. So it was like, there were so many things where I was like, I mean, he laughed. He was like, you wouldn't even know we were in a pandemic if like it weren't for the news, which is kind of true. So I think for me, most of the navigating was dealing with Caroline's emotions with it all, because it was the end. It started the end of her junior year. And in fact, she said last week, she said, I feel like I went on spring break my junior year and now I'm moving into my college dorm. Like,
wow,
there was no, which is kind of how it was, because, like, I mean, her senior year was fine. And technically, you know, we're in Texas, so she had in-person school, but because of the way, because she knew what that was going to look like she only had like three classes she had, to graduate. So in the fall, went to school a little bit, but then basically nobody cared if you went online or in person. And she kind of found out real quick that if you went in person, you were going to risk being quarantined if you were exposed. And so she was like, yeah, so I'm just going to stay home. And so she was home a lot. And I mean, there was no homecoming, no bonfire, and there was no prom, and there was no, which is really sad that those kids were, you know, kind of robbed of those things. So I think that was hard. It was hard to see your kid lose kind of these rite of passages. Like, she got to have her senior soccer season, which was most important to her. And so we were so happy for her, but there were no team dinners. There were no, you know, celebrations. So kind of all these rites of passage she didn't get. It's kind of helping her through that, which is just like, you know what, this is what it is. And my whole thing, and Sophie will say, like, I'm opposed to a victim mentality in any way, shape, or form. I'm like, we are not going to be a victim of this. So we're going to make the best of it. And it is what it is. And kind of keeping her spirits up. But I think that's part of why the pandemic did two things for me. Number one, when I sent her off to college, I was like, you know what? We've spent more time together in the last 2 years than I could have ever dreamed, because she was home so much more than she would have been home otherwise. And number two, because she had been so locked down and there were so many things that she didn't get to do, like seeing her get to go off to college and do all the things, like, I really have not been sad. Like, I miss her, but I'm like, God, I'm so glad she's, I mean, doing all the stuff and doing all the social stuff. And God bless Texas A&M for basically saying, we're wide open. Like, we're doing it all. Midnight yell, you got it. Like, you know, yell practice, you got it. So I, you know, football games, they're happening. So that's been a real gift to me to get to see, get to soar. So.
Oh man. Okay. So now, as you are reflecting back on all the things, what are some things you let go of the mom guilt for? Like, have you carried some mom guilt? Like, I did mess that up, but now you're like, it's okay. It wasn't that big a deal.
You know, I don't know what it says about me. I've never been much of a mom guilt person. I maybe had a little bit when Alex was in elementary school and I was working at the high school where I worked. You know, I could never like pop over for lunches and that kind of stuff. And I would always kind of have like, you know, but then when he was in seventh grade, he came to the campus where I worked and started going to school there. So we just really had an inordinate amount of time together in terms of seeing each other every day. And he and his friends would come and eat lunch in my office and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Melanie can tell me if I'm not remembering this correctly. But I don't feel like mom guilt has been that big of a thing for me. And I couldn't really even tell you why. Maybe just because I generally think everybody's just doing the best they can, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're just doing the best they can, given the time and the resources and the energy that they have. And so I've tried to do the best I could, but nobody can be perfect and nobody can do it all and nobody can be there for everything. And so maybe I haven't put a lot of unreasonable expectations maybe on myself as a mom. And maybe I just didn't think about it enough. Maybe if I really considered it, I could feel a lot of guilt now. I could really feel a lot of delayed guilt.
Add some now. Let's think of some things. Yeah. What did you mess up on that I could add layers?
It is not that I didn't mess up. I've messed up plenty, but I don't think I ever had the perception that I wouldn't, you know, like I've kind of known. I don't know if that's part of that's that I was a teacher for so long and, you know, had just watched kids and parents kind of, you know, occasionally misfire on things. I don't know, but that's not a great answer.
It is a great answer. I think you gave yourself grace. You gave yourself grace to make mistakes. And I think also the fact that y'all have that perspective, like you are nearing the end of seeing them becoming adults, that you kind of are letting go of what maybe if you have a 2-year-old, you're like feeling guilt that you didn't sign up for soccer at 18 months, but you don't have the perspective that like, it did matter. It didn't matter. I don't know. I feel like you have perspective that it didn't matter. Those things didn't matter.
Yeah. Or just, it just works out like it's supposed to.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't
know.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Again, though, I am not, Melanie knows I process everything in the rearview mirror.
Okay.
So it may be that Alex goes to college and I need 2 weeks away to deal with all the stuff that I feel bad about. But as much as we, you know, I've just, I don't know, just tried to do the best I could given the circumstances I was in. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I've heard some people say that as you get close to them going off to college, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I never taught them to whatever.
Right. And I've heard people say like, we didn't take enough trips. We didn't go on enough vacations. Mm-hmm. We didn't do family worship, whatever, you know, and I don't know. There's a lot we didn't do, but he's fine. I mean, mm-hmm.
He's great.
I'm also the third child I have a brother who's 10 years older than I am and a sister who's 14 years older than I am. So my parents, by the time they raised me, it was the 70s. They were done. And so I think that strategy affected a lot how I parent, which is like, I don't know, just everything's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
Yeah. I'm kind of, Sophie and I, that's a similar, I feel like, personality trait-ness. So I don't know if that's a 9, but I was like, I never felt a lot of guilt. I mean, like when she was a toddler, especially like during those years, I might feel kind of bad where I was like short with her, or, you know, like I wish I had lost my temper, you know, or gotten mad or whatever. But then you realize like the next day they don't remember, like,
no,
like, why am I mean, you know, their kids are so forgiving. And I think, you know, Caroline said to Perry and I, which was such, see, this is what I'm going to tear up, but like, which was such a gift the last week she was home. And she, like, one night we were talking, she just said, you and dad did a really good job. Like, I really appreciate the way y'all raised me. And I thought, you know what? We were not perfect. There were times we yelled too much. We didn't do a lot of fancy vacations. That child's never been to Disney World. I mean, like.
Neither has Alex.
Yeah, she's never been. And yet it's all fine. And you realize, like, we put all these expectations of the way we think it's supposed to look. And then you've got the social media pressure of like, well, everybody's gone to Disney World except for us, or whatever. And I'm like, what kids remember at the end, I thought, here's what I think Caroline would tell you she remembers, that she was loved beyond measure and up. Like, we were her safe space. We were her biggest fans. And that's it. I mean, because she's not like, remember when you were 3 and I was at the zoo and you told me the snake house was closed and I didn't get to go see the snakes? They don't remember. Like, so it's, you just have to let so much of it go. Because my best friend Gelly says this all the time. If you were a bad mom, you wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about if you were a bad mom. Like, bad moms don't sit and think about like, did I handle that right? So the fact that you're feeling that guilt is like, no, you love your child. You're showing up. You're trying to do all the right things. And you just have to trust that God's grace covers the rest of it, because there are going to be things you get wrong. And it's just the way it is. So
I think it's good too to remember that you're a mom. You're not a curator of... you know, meaningful
moments
and events. Like, there is not one reason why, or there's no reason to feel guilty because you have not curated some perfect childhood experience. And again, I think that's a gift of growing up in the 70s and the 80s. You know, I mean, Melanie, we've talked about this before. Yeah, I would ride my bike to my friend's house. She lived about 4 miles away. I had to cross a highway on my bike. Nobody cared. And you know,
it's when you watch Stranger Things in the first season, they commented, they're like, where were the parents?
Yeah.
Besides crazy mom with the lights, like, where were all the other parents? They were just gone. Yeah.
No, but that was real. I think so much of the guilt sometimes comes from seeing what appears, at least, you know, on social media, it can appear like, well, God, those children are crafting so beautifully. You know, and look at the succulents that surround their paintbrushes. And it all looks so beautiful in a picture, but real life is messy. Mm-hmm. And your kids are getting a real life, which to me is way more valuable than having something that just looks beautiful. Right. So I think real life trumps the curation every single time.
Amen to that.
Drop the mic, Sophie. Mm-hmm. Drop it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know our time is closing, ladies, but I'm sure you get this question. I know there are moms that listen. They've reached out to me with the number of children. Okay. And I know you each have an only child, and I love that God put you all together and you have each other. And I've loved watching Mel, how you and Gully and your kids, you know, have vacation together. Now they're in them together. Anyway, all the things, but I know, like, sometimes they ask me, sometimes it's a choice and sometimes it's not. And so you don't have to answer that one way or the other, whether you chose to have an only child or not. But kind of encourage the mom, if that is her story or where she is, or whether it was her choice or not her choice, on your journey, like the positives of that.
You know, I have a vivid memory of being with a friend of mine. And at the time we each had like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, and we were in the bookstore together. Kids were little, and we were talking about whether or not we would have a second child. And at the time she was wanting to have a second child. And I was like, I just don't know. And she said, here's the thing. Every family's a perfect family. Melanie's heard me say that 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Every family's a perfect family. And listen, that didn't stick with me. I mean, it stuck with me like crazy. And so, I mean, we just had the way sort of life played out for us made a second child a thing we were kind of unsure of for 4 or 5 years. And then by the time we sort of circled back around to it, I was pushing 40, and we were just really content with Alex. And so I would just say every family is a perfect family, and it doesn't have to look like what you think everybody else's looks like. And so what has been a beautiful thing for us has been that we have sort of grafted in with 2 other families. One of those families has an only child, the other family, they have 2 children, but we, as the adults, we've been in small group together now since our kids were in 6th grade. And so I feel like we've been a part of this like big family unit. And I think that even if your family in your house is a small one, we're all part of a bigger family. We just have to live that way. And so that's been a great thing. But listen, I have no regrets about the one child thing. Melanie and I talk about this all the time. It's been such a sweet spot for us. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten to enjoy families that have more kids. Like, that's the thing. I think we have this comparison thing we do where we say, well, my family doesn't look like that family. Well, why not enjoy that family?
Yep.
Why not let that family enjoy your family? And I know that's a little like, maybe that's idealistic. I don't know, but I'm so grateful to have gotten to enjoy so many families other than just the ones that I live with. I don't know. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the ultimate don't mom alone. Like you're creating your community. And that's what I see in the families that are around us with only children is I'm kind of jealous because they get to like, people you invite them over for dinner because that's not intimidating. 4 boys is what are they going to do to the drapes? They don't even know how to use a tablecloth. Pull it like a magic trick. You don't get invited very many times when you bring 4 boys over. So yeah, no, there's a gift of walking alongside and finding your people. That's good. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I think that, I mean, I've always heard friends are the families that you get to choose. Like, and I love that because I'm like, I don't think I came up with that, but that's just, but it is so true. And I mean, I look at like Gully, and especially now that her oldest Jackson and Caroline are at A&M, and it has been the sweetest thing because I think they've seen each other just about every day. They're going to their first football game together this weekend. And like, that's so special that they've got that relationship. And there were years when they were in high school when they weren't as close, because I think those are years it gets kind of awkward. You know, you just don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
But to see that come kind of full circle to where now she knows, like she's got that big brother figure there. But yeah, for me, it's funny because I really thought after she goes off to college, am I going to wish that I had a younger one at home? And I don't, like, because you kind of go, you know what, that's just another one you're going to have to pack up and say goodbye to. And so it delays it temporarily, but at some point the emptiness thing is coming. And I think you just have to trust that, you know, I mean, I think I get more emails about the only child thing than anything else. And for us, it was a choice. It's a choice that actually, I think I felt more and more comfortable with the older she got, where I was like, oh, this really was the right decision for our family. Like God in his wisdom knew that was going to be best for my personality and for our family long before I did, when I was still questioning. Cause I think, especially when your kids are younger, cause everybody around you is still babies. And so with each friend that would get pregnant, I'd be like, should I get pregnant again? You know, but I look and go, that's so great for them. But I think God knows what you can handle. He knows what you're equipped for. He knows the child that you're going to, and you have to trust in that and don't let anybody make you feel bad. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's your choice. And raising a child is a huge emotional and spiritual and financial responsibility. And so don't do that for your mother-in-law or other people that have a perception that you should have more than one. That's your business. So
wise words.
Hashtag that's your business.
That's your business. That's your business.
Every family is a perfect family. Y'all just throwing them out there. Oh. Yeah.
Every family is a perfect family. I feel like I've seen that play out over and over and over again, you know, and I don't know. I think we can put so much pressure on ourselves that we don't enjoy what we have, you know, where we are because we're so busy looking down the road. And so it was a really sweet thing to remember over and over and again, because I was like, Mel, you know, suddenly people would have 2 children and 3 children and 4 children. And you're like, but you can either tell yourself that you don't fit in and you're left out, or you can jump in there with them and give your kid, if you have one, the gift of community. And I'm so grateful for that. It was really a kind of a transforming thing for us. So to be able to jump in with those other families.
Amazing. Amazing. See, Bruce and I just said, when we were dating, that we were going to have 4 kids, and we felt like we'd made a promise or something. One of my friends, when I was pregnant with the 3rd, and she's like, are you gonna have another one? I was like, well, we said we'd have 4.
Listen,
like, you know, you don't have to do it just because you said, like, this isn't written in concrete somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think life throws you curveballs. I mean, you know, I think part of my whole thing was, before I had Caroline, I had a really hard, difficult miscarriage situation. And I lived in so much fear that when I got pregnant with her, there was such a gratitude for this like baby that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to have, that I'm like, that a whole perspective on the whole thing again, like where I was like, I don't take pregnancy for granted or lightly or whatever, which is before, you know, it was just like, well, you just have however many kids you're supposed to have. And then you see friends that struggle with infertility and different things. And you're like, you know, at some point you're like, God gives you what you're supposed to have. I really do believe that.
It's a good word. It's a good word. Y'all are amazing. Thank you for hanging out.
Thanks, Heather.
Oh, my closet.
It's been so fun.
Right. I really do feel like they told me, oh, we don't have wisdom to share. You know, they like to talk about football and their products. And I think they are so wise and just how they approach parenting. I took so much of their advice this week, and especially since my oldest got his driver's license, and I just really needed to, you know, chill out a little bit, be a houseplant a little more with my just turned 14-year-old. There's lots of teenage angst going on in my house, and so I'm learning from Sophie and Mel. I so appreciate their insight and wisdom. Definitely check out Sophie's Grace Upon Grace book if you have girls trusting God no matter what. I mean, right now, don't we all need to be reminded of that? I think I wrote that in my Write the Word journal this week, is just really trusting God. Do I trust him? And why don't I? I've talked about that even with that interview with Jackie Hill Perry. So I am going to pray for us, and then I have just a couple announcements related to my book. All right. Lord, I thank you that you made each mom so unique. I thank you that you made each family perfect, and that we can trust you in all of that, that we don't have to compare and contrast and feel less than. I thank you for just the confidence that Mel and Sophie can bring to us as you have placed us in families that you know. I pray for the mom listening who is feeling a little out of sorts because they don't know if they should have more kids. And I pray for the mommy who's listening and really struggling with how to parent their child well and to understand how they're wired. I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight and discernment and wisdom to do what you have created us to do, and to drop the guilt and to pursue you most. I thank you for how you give us eyes to see what we need to see and ways to trust you more. You even give us your spirit for us to lean on, to believe you, and to increase our faith. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, So this episode's coming out September 14th. And for those who've pre-ordered the book and gone to don'tmomalone.com/book and filled out, there's a little form there to get pre-order goodies, including a free copy of the audiobook. Those emails also include little 10-minute sneak peek pep talks with me and Courtney Cleveland, where I share little bits from the book for the next few weeks. Also included in that is an invite to the launch team. And my launch team, like gurus, the gals running it, really want me to kind of close that off September 15th so they can just talk to the launch team and get all the information to the launch team. We currently have about 100 gals there. I'd love more. If you want to help us out, basically you'd get an early copy of the book, a digital copy. You would help us by leaving reviews. You would also help us by sharing some graphics. And we're just going to have some fun giveaways. I'll be on there live to do a Q&A here or there. And I just would love for you to be a part of that. One of the giveaways is a weekend in Dallas with one of your girlfriends. So if you want access to something like that, where we could hang out, you need to go pre-order a book. You need to go to don'tmomalone.com/book and fill out that form, and then you'll get the info you need. But the launch team is closing, so I don't want you to miss out on that if that's something that you want to do. Go check it out over at don'tmomalone.com/book. So thankful for y'all. Thank you for sharing episodes you love on Instagram and with your friends. Really, that's the only way this show has ever grown. There's so many shows out there. There's so many shows. And if you have enjoyed today or other episodes, I love when you share. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And tag me at Don't Mom Alone on Instagram. All right. You'll have a great week. Adios. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.